Hey, it's Bree Bagwell from Only Vans with your Breecap. And this week, my longtime friend John Dixon of the Music Fest in Steamboat Springs, Colorado, joins me today to talk about how he created the festival, its evolution, and where it stands today as a legendary festival celebrating its 40th year. We talk about different venue names and options while you attend, and it's worth noting that your Music Fest reservation includes access to all concerts and venues, 6 days and five nights of lodging, 4 full days of ski lift passes and 1 night lift pass, and so much more. TheMusicFest.com has all the details there. We talk about the poker tournament, what I call the hidden gem of Music Fest, where on arrival day you can bid on items such as artists like me coming into your condo for a private show. If you didn't know, now you know. I signed the Music Fest magazine cover that's no longer in existence as John continues to amaze me at his gratitude towards each artist that performs on the festival. We, of course, talk about the Bronze, 4 brothers who make up the bands Reckless Kelly and Mickey and the Motor Cars, and the revival of the Otter Club, where I may have committed myself to be the next victim of the Snowball Firing Squad. Ugh. Head to themusicfest.com, and I'll see you on the mountain in 2026.
Well, they thought we were crazy for wanting to do a show outside in the middle of the Rockies, you know, in the winter. And they really were kind of like, you know, who are these people? What are you talking about? And we did it, and we didn't know what we were doing. I mean, I was like, hey, we do stuff outside in Texas. We're going to do it in the mountains. And it was the first one was, it was snowing, it was cold, Yeah, there's a little light shock that the guitar player had because the snow was coming down, and there was a guy with a saxophone. His lips were sticking to the reed, and it was pretty funny, but people had the time of their life.
The beer's frozen. These Texans.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. This is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
Man, I like how easy you guys are.
Well, how easy you mean, Kyle? I don't do anything.
I'm paying attention.
It's the best. Yeah. He's so great. And when he suggested that we do this podcast, I'm so busy. You know, I'm on the road all the time. So I said, I'll do it if you do. He does everything else. He does the cameras. He does the editing. He does the social media. So all I have to do is get my friends to be on the podcast.
Yeah, but thanks for traveling here. I mean, I was thinking, God, how many miles does she put on her car a month? And then to come here.
Oh, I brought Paul's car.
Well, I'm not talking about your car in general. I'm just talking about you on the road.
I didn't mind.
How many miles do you clock in a month?
In a month? Well, that's hard to tell, but I do know that I'm about to hit 100,000 miles on my RV, and it's only a year and a half old. So, and that's just my work vehicle. So my personal mileage. Yeah, that's why I brought Paul's car. It gets better gas mileage, and he was on the lawnmower. So I just was like, "Well, I'm just gonna take that car." But I didn't mind. Thanks for having us at your awesome barn. This place is amazing.
Well, this is kind of a, I don't know. You may recognize some of this. It kind of feels like some of the Steamboat venues.
It sure does. I was gonna ask, is that how you modeled Timber? Well, now Timber and Torch after this.
Well, the Timber and Torch and the Dung Beetle and
Fish Camp,
and it's just a combination of all. And some of this goes back and forth. Every once in a while, we'll change out stuff, but, you know, I just like the vibe.
I love the vibe. It is really cool. It almost makes me want to put some whiskey in this Topo Chico.
Well, that's kind of the intention.
Well, now I have your gate code and your address, so I can just come in here when
you're welcome anytime.
Well, thank you. And we were talking with John Dixon, the creator of Music Fest at Steamboat, and you do a lot more than that, but I really do want to talk to you about Music Fest because... I dressed appropriately.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I like that hat.
I also have a lot of vests, but it's not appropriate weather for the vests. But
a lot of musicians have a lot of vests. But thank you. This is your, I was looking at this, 15, 14 years? Yeah.
I don't even know. I stopped counting.
It's awesome.
I don't know how you continue to keep, it's got to be tough just because the amount of people that text me, I had one yesterday, a girl say, "Hey girl, can you get me on Steamboat?" I mean, I probably get 10 or 20 a year. How many emails do you get with people? 1,000?
You know, I do get quite a few. And I do try to look at every one of them, you know. And it's a challenge. But it's also good because I know that when a musician that's performed on the festival quite a few years, like yourself, calls me or texts me and says, hey, check this person out. I know they're like, I'm going to pay attention to that. So, I, you know, because it's kind of your reputation on the line, too, says, hey, I'm going to, because you know the vibe, you know the feel of Music Fest and the artists that are there. Mm-hmm. It's so much more than just music. There's so much more going on with the camaraderie between everyone and just the, you know, it's it appeals to, or it kind of appeals to a certain artist, and it's not for everyone.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, and the hang is equally important as the talent and the someone who's not going to go, you know, be an idiot with your guests that pay great money and come back year after year because of the reputation. So I agree with that. And I remember I saw you at a show one time, and you were standing over here. I'm like, what's John Dixon doing here? And then you got on stage and gave me my 10-year plaque, and I could not believe that I have been there 10 years. It flies by. But I think I was thinking more today about you keep all these people that have been there for a long time, but you also have to bring in the cool new talent, and that's going to be hard because none of us ever leave.
Well,
we don't ever want to stop going.
Yeah, but you're part of the fabric of this whole scene, and you've kicked open the door for so many young artists, and you're part of it. It's some of these artists were influenced by what you've done, not only by your music, but how you your work ethic and all that goes with it. So, yeah, but you know, we always love bringing in the new and upcoming artists to keep it fresh and keep, you know, that's one of the things of the festival. You guys are established, you have this fan base, and then also you share that base with these young artists, and also the young artists bring in another demographics, so it all works together and y'all all support each other. That's one thing about this scene that I picked up on in the early days of Texas music. I was fortunate to be on the ground level with it all, and I just saw how everybody supports each other and helps each other out no matter what age you're at or whatever else. And you know, it was like even bringing some of the old school guys when we had Guy Clark there and Billy Joe Shaver, and how they were just so helpful to the young artists of telling them, hey, here's what you do, here's what you don't do. Just kind of all fun, but it was so supportive of each other. So that's what really I really admire and respect about this whole scene.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I can't imagine being at Music Fest with Guy Clark, because that name comes up almost every time I interview someone about their influences. And so us getting to hang out with our heroes, and you're coming up on your 40th year, which is wild. It always sells out. It's going to sell out again. But I know you've probably told the story 100 times, but if you don't mind talking about the origin, because I remember talking to you about it, and it is pretty fascinating how it started and what it's morphed into. And now, like, you can't, I mean, my family is like, we want to go, but man, it sells out. You kind of have to, that's so exciting.
Well, I'm very fortunate, blessed. It was a lot of work, but that's tributes to you as an artist, to all the artists that go on it.
I think mostly me, 90%.
Well, it's the combination of all you guys. You know, everybody collectively together just creates such a unique scene and the fact that you guys are there for days is not like any other festival. That's one of the things. But, yeah, the beginning deal was I was in college, and I was just trying to figure out I didn't have any money, how to have a good time, you know, with my buddies, getting everybody together. And I answered an ad in the school paper that said, hey, get 15 people to go on this trip, and you get a free trip. I'm like, well, I think I can get 15. I ended up getting 600 people.
So, oh, my gosh.
So I had a lot of free. It wasn't about trying to figure out how to make money or anything. It was how to pay for my trip and then get a group of friends together. And then when I got all those free trips, which I guess I could have sold, but I was like, no, I'm going to invite all my musician buddies and all that stuff. I said, you know, y'all get a free trip, but you have to work the whole week. So it was, you know, we had music and, you know, it was just, that's kind of the way it started. And once that first one happened, word spread out through all the colleges that, hey, because there hadn't been a group ski trip that really had a real live music scene in it. And so, you know, that's just music. I love music. I like it whenever I'm doing anything, vacation or hanging out, doing, you know, with the family, whatever, there's always music. So why not when you're skiing? You know, come off the slopes and let's go.
Well, and for us, we get to ski. That's part of the thing as the artist, we get to ski. And if you're talking about Steamboat Springs and what a premier place that is, if you're just buying lift passes at the window, that's $1,200. So when you're getting the lodging, you're getting the tickets to the concert, you're getting the skiing, like it comes out to such an incredible value that it's almost a no-brainer. If you're going to go skiing anyway, now you get to go sit at the bar and here comes Randy Rogers and Kevin Fowler, you know, and people tell me about their memories of just getting to meet people. But for us as artists, it's obviously it's our friends, it's the hang. But I remember probably about 10 years ago, I remember going to Steamboat and I had a big show there. It was just an amazing slot before somebody, I can't remember, but I went back to Houston and I sold 400 tickets to the Redneck Country Club. And I was like, what are y'all doing here? And they had all just got back from Steamboat and they had all saw me at Music Fest. So, and now it's happening, it's still happening, but in different ways where I just went to Ohio and Minneapolis and Chicago, and almost everybody there that is there are people that really follow the Texas music scene and said, I saw you at Steamboat. So it's still helping us in all these different markets. I think I've emailed you a few times to be like, there was 50 people that came because they go to Steamboat.
Well, I'll tell you that personally, that's one of the most rewarding things to hear. And I'll get phone calls or text messages from, you know, artists out on the road, out of state. And I'm like, why are you texting me right now? I says, well, you know, we've come through this town and usually only, you know, it's 50 or 60 people. I've got 1,000 people in front of me now because they saw us at Music Fest, they tied it, they got all their friends, and it's just, it makes a difference. So, you know, exposing this music to people all over the country is one of the, yeah, I didn't realize that was going to happen to this caliber.
Right.
So it's really I'm really fortunate to be able to help spread this music. It's good music. People just need to know what's out there. And
yeah.
And so then, you know, in your case, yeah, that was so cool when, you know, you had that crowd in front of you and
yeah.
You know, I know the bar and stuff.
Attributed to your festival. And that's why your slogan is Get Real. We're still dealing with, you know, a lot of, back then there was a lot of Nashville versus Texas. A lot of that is gone. But I do agree that when I was reading about why your slogan came to be, you know, it's because you thought the music was so much more authentic, and it still yeah. is very raw and real. And everyone's singing live. There's not a whole lot of, you know, background tracks or things happening.
Yep.
It's and then it's somebody in the Dung Beetle playing acoustic by themselves. So I think it's still the slogan because of that reason. Right?
It's what you guys write about is about real life stuff. You're not thrown into a room and said, hey, here's the theme of the day that we're going to, you know, we want to release a song in 3 months with this. And everybody, you can hear it out of these tracks or commercial music that it's all has the same theme and whatever else, and it's really goofy to me. But I mean, there's some great music that comes out of Nashville and elsewhere. I don't want to knock that, because there's some great people there, great companies, but then there's also this machine, as it is anywhere. But you know, that's, it's all about, hey, what can we say in 3 minutes and 30 seconds that can play on the radio and blah blah blah. And it's like, you know, you see that trend go up and down, and sometimes they're on it. Sometimes it's just like, really, this is what you call country music? And I've got my personal opinions about it. But what you guys always bring to the table is just that authentic stuff that we can all relate to. And it's fun. Sometimes it's sad. It's whatever. But it's not written for a purpose to see how many hits you can get, you know, whatever. So
right. And then we get there and we have these late night jams, which are, that's what, you know, Music Fest is also famous for,
yep.
where we get to play all of our new stuff, or we just do a Guy Clark round, or we do. And that's the part of Steamboat where I have to really pace myself because I lose my voice easily. And so, but I had a pretty epic one with the Bronze and Max and Heather Stalling and, you know, Josh Grider. We had, and Jason Eady, we had one till about 3:30 in the morning this year. And we all joked that we all got about 1-4 a.m. night in us. We used to have every night 4 a.m.
All the time. It's still happening now. It's just some of the younger.
We're just not there as much.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. But those are my favorite. I have to just ask before I forget. Did you know about the Otter Club?
I was actually a part of that.
No, you were not.
Yeah, I had a nickname. I got to remember what it was. Olias. That was the Bronze. They come up with this crazy stuff, but it was, if I remember, it's get all the booze that you had in your room before you leave, you know, the next day, take it down to the pool and go to the hot tub. And there's initiation.
They throw snowballs. You have you have to line up and everybody gets to throw snowballs at you.
Yes.
And I had no idea till I had Willie on my podcast. He told me about the Otter Club, but he said they haven't done it in a few years. So we're thinking maybe this year for your 40th anniversary, we do an Otter Club, reignition or something. And then we have to, I'm not in it.
So oh, you have to be initiated.
You get to throw snowballs.
Well, they're the official executives of that whole thing. So it's really entertaining. It's funny, but it was a core group, and it's just one of those quirky things. There's so many little different things that happen up there at Music Fest like that that are pretty funny. Sometimes they come back, you know. We've had various different things, but you bring up the late night jams and stuff like that. You know, some of those things you walk into not knowing who you're going to see or what music you're going to hear, and just these, you know, phenomenal jams that you guys do, and who all's and sharing new songs, and we get to hear it for the first time, and then, you know, 8 months later, a year later, you hear it released. It's like, oh wow, I heard that you were testing it on everybody, and now here it is, and it's great. So
it's the most fun, and I also want to talk about the tribute, because the tribute is one thing that you have done that I think is just so brilliant, but also some of the most nervous I've ever been in my entire life. We don't really get nervous anymore as performers, you know. And then when you're backstage and all of us are pacing and people are practicing, and it's so fun. It's because, you know, I got to sing Last Thing I Needed first thing this morning for Gary P. Nunn. And I got to do a Rex Kelly song and now a Charlie Robinson song. And the tribute. So how did that come about? And I don't know if you have any... You can't pick favorites, but if you have any fun.
No, I mean, in the early 2000s, this was when Texas music and Oklahoma music was not known outside of those states. And so when all the bands made their road trip up to Steamboat, there was no gigs in between or after. You came up to Steamboat, played your gigs, and then went back to Texas or Oklahoma or wherever. Louisiana, we had bands. And I was like, hey, I want to do something just kind of as a thank you to the musicians that are making this trek up there. And you know, it was just a whole different deal then. And I said, you know what, I'm going to put them in front of the people that influenced them. And the first one was Billy Joe Shaver. And I'll tell you, I didn't know what to expect. And it was just supposed to be just for the musicians and their friends. And they says, well, hey, I've got some friends that are here that are on the trip. I said, okay, well, let's let them in. And it was a full room. And I don't know, Billy Joe Shaver, if you ever saw him, especially in that atmosphere, it was like going to church. It was incredible and really a neat deal and moving. The second year was Guy Clark. On that one, that was really a exciting deal. This kind of ties into your late night jams. I think everybody was so Guy Clark's sitting in front of the stage, right up front,
like 10 feet away.
Yeah, 10 feet away. And then the musicians get up and sing a song that inspired them to do what they do. And there's usually a story that goes with it. And there were some of the most moving, incredible stories that nobody's heard. And I don't even know if some of the musicians have ever shared that with people, of why this Guy Clark song got them into music or, you know, went down a certain avenue. But a quick story, I know we were all in a celebratory state of mind after that deal. It was just so much fun. So there's a late night jam in one of the condos, and I think that went till 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. And I said, man, I've got to go, because I've got to... I got to go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning. And
oh no.
Yeah, it was pretty wild, but it was, I get a phone call at about 7 and, hey John, this is Guy Clark. And I'm like, and I have a friend named Guy, you know, and I was like, he said, this is Guy. I didn't say Guy Clark. He said, this guy. I said, Guy, I'm working. I said, I just got home actually. And, he says, no man, this is Guy. And I'm like, he says, this is Guy Clark. And I was like, and so I just went to kind of a just shocked, like, yes sir. You know, he says, well, I just want you to know that was one of the most special tributes I've ever experienced in my life. And I was like, oh, you know, that really reflects on the musicians. So what I do, as soon as I got off the phone with him, I called everybody that I just left from the condo and waking everybody up, said, hey, Guy Clark just called and said that was one of the most special nights of his life. And I'm like, you guys did that. It wasn't me, that was y'all. So it was really moving, but it was, you know, those tributes, and over the years, they've just turned into really what they've become. And, you know, there's no really set way of doing this thing. I know we had Johnny Gimble there, the fiddle player for Bob Wills, and, you know, just people like that, at, you know, Leon Russell, way outside of the box, but what an influence he's had on music in general, just, you know, from writing music with Bernie Taupin and, you know, his connection with Willie. I said, you know, it just all comes together. But it's been really fun to do those deals. And you mentioned Charlie Robinson. That was really a special one because he had passed. And you know, he was a big part of Music Fest. And you know, he was just a wonderful man and great talent. So they all have a different, you know, emotional aspect to them. But the music stands on its own. It's really cool.
Yes. And I mean, I looked down and the bronze were all crying at the Reckless Kelly one. You know, you don't get to see that very often. It is so meaningful to the artist that you do the tribute for. I want to talk about the outdoor stage because you kind of, I didn't know this until, well, Catherine, she's real good. I knew I wasn't going to have to prepare much for this, but your daughter, she sent me some talking points. There's a bunch of things in there I didn't know, and how the outdoor stage initially got a lot of pushback from...
Well, they thought we were crazy for wanting to do a show outside in the middle of the Rockies, you know, in the winter. And they really were kind of like, you know, who are these people? What are you talking about? And we did it, and we didn't know what we were doing. I mean, I was like, hey, we do stuff outside in Texas. We're going to do it in the mountains. And it was the first one was, it was snowing, it was cold, and there's a little light shock that the guitar player had because the snow was coming down, and there was a guy with a saxophone. His lips were sticking to the reed, and it was pretty funny, but people had the time of their life.
The beer's frozen. These Texans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell. Howdy, y'all. It's Bree Bagwell, and I know y'all support the people who support me, so let me tell you about Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Born and raised in Deep Ellum, Texas, Deep Ellum Brewing Company has really made its mark on the beer world. Known for its flagships, Dallas Blonde and Deep Ellum IPA, they put boring beers to shame with a full lineup that's unapologetically not brewed to style. My personal favorite is the Dallas Blonde. It is so easy to drink. I just took it home for the holidays, and my whole family was like obsessed with this beer. No joke. They drank it all. Thanks a lot, family. So head over to deepellumbrewing.com to open the beer vault and give your fridge what it deserves. And you'll see why love runs deep for Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Available in Texas and Oklahoma, side effects may include severe happiness. Deep Ellum Brewing Company products are for individuals 21 and older, and we encourage drinking responsibly. Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Bree and Whiskey sent you. Hey, everybody, this is Bree Bagwell with OnlyVans Podcast, and I want to point you in the right direction for content creation. My friends at Release Rocket Media are the best, Shelton and Ryan. They can do any sort of videos you want. They do all the audio, all the editing, stuff that I hate to do, they just do it for you. So if you're an artist or a business, it can be anything, and you need content creation, trust me, Release Rocket is your go-to. ReleaseRocketMedia.com.
Yeah.
Well, it's great now. And now I think you put the stage on the stage, and they built the whole new outdoor stage. Yeah. Did they name it after you?
No. Should have named it after you because you're out there every year.
I think I might be out there next year. Wink, wink. I just saw the email come in today.
It's just there's no setting like it anywhere. I mean, you've got the back of the mountain, people skiing down it, and you're playing to a crowd, and it's just such a unique deal. And, yeah, it can get a little cool down there, but it doesn't slow anybody down. I think last year we had close to 10,000 people out there one day. It's just jam-packed, and people love it. It's a good festive, you know, place to be.
Right, and it's actually the one that people don't have to have a wristband. Like, the public can come.
It's open to the public.
And for me, it's fun. I look down, and I see all the people that work around the venues that I see every year, so they'll take off and come see the show because they, you know, they never get to. That's really fun. And if you don't want to do that, there's the big tent.
Yeah.
That's where all the youngins go. That's what I say.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I go out as a fan to the festival, and I love going to the tent because, man, if you want to get the high energy, there it is.
And it's not cold in there.
No, it's not
it's
cold.
It's warm in there. You get in there.
Drinks are flowing.
People are making out in there. It's the Wild West. I like it. And it's a giant tent. Do you guys bring that? That doesn't stay up year-round, right? That's
no,
the thing that
no,
you guys
that comes
do.
In for that week, and our claim to fame is it's the biggest dance hall in Colorado.
Aww.
For that one week.
Yep.
Because there's no place that big in Colorado.
Yeah.
So, it's a fully climate-controlled tent, and, I mean, you've seen the stage, you've played on the stage, and the
big stage,
big sound.
Great sound. The production is always top-notch every year, and then all the way down to something like the Dung Beetle, which is really small and intimate and acoustic and lots of stories. So there is something for everybody, and I love all the venues. I love the ballroom. I always do Temper and Torch every year, which has only improved also.
Yep.
It's also been... an incredible venue. And now this, now you have the Stoker and the Thunderhead, which are, you take the gondola. Do you take the gondola to both of those?
Yeah.
So you can take the gondola up there and have these incredible views. Really something for everybody.
And well, it kind of depends on what mood you're in, mm-hmm. to what show you want to experience.
How hungover you are.
Yeah, how hungover you are. They got great Bloody Marys on top of the mountain, by the way. But it's just, right. you know, it's just the different characteristics of each venue and what comes out of the off the stage. It kind of, you know, the room kind of sets the vibe. So, yeah, if you don't want to go kick your heels up at the tent, you go over to the Dung Beetle Saloon and sit there and listen to an artist tell a story behind their, you know, recent release or whatever else. But it's just, and everything in between. You got the Timber and Torch is the one you were talking about. That was one of the original places where we did shows for the Music Fest. And it used to be a pretty grungy. Yeah. Well, it was called Buddy's Run way back
there
when.
There was
back
another
in the 80s.
Name? I didn't know
Yeah, they
that.
Changed it. But it was always the basement of that hotel, and they never could change it. They finally did 2 or 3 years ago. They sunk, you know, the resort sunk a lot of money into it, redid it, and really expanded it. And it's really, it was always a cool venue, mm-hmm. but it has a different vibe, but it's still just a great room for skiing off the mountain. I mean, you come in with your ski boots and, you know, you got music and a good bar going.
Yeah, really great. And I don't know how you have such a knack for getting or finding the kind of next big thing. I know this last year you had Zach Topp. That was pretty cool. I got to chit chat with him for a little bit. But you have a John Dixon radar, and then the kind of the things that you touch seem to go on to do really big things. That seems to be a pattern, or can't be that lucky.
Well, you brought up Zach, and it's like a lot of the artists that have come through there have played one of our biggest stages. The next thing I know, 8 weeks later, they're playing the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, and Zach was one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm watching him at the base of the mountain, and then 8 weeks later, I'm at the Houston Rodeo, and there's 70,000+ people. I'm like, how cool is this? And the fact that we were part of that,
right.
and have been part of a lot of artists that have gone on to play, you know, play Music Fest, and then months later, they're opening up for the Rolling Stones, and I'm not joking. I mean, it's like that kind of stuff, and it's, you know, I think the Music Fest, people pay attention to it, buyers in other markets, other festivals. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. And it's you know, I'm really, you know, you're asking about how I choose artists and so forth. And I mean, I really do pay attention to the talent, work ethic. You know, it's more than just the talent. I mean, that obviously is paramount to the whole, you know, for them being there. But it's also a work ethic and their commitment to their craft and so forth. So there's a lot of things that go into bringing an artist in there, and the new and young and up and coming artist.
Right. And now Southwest flies right into Hayden, and which is wild. Yep. Did they name the terminal after you too? I think that might be, that's wild. But there's a bunch of different ways to do Steamboat. You know, like you said, there's venues on the way now that bands can play. Yeah. I think that a lot of people don't know how much your production is so top notch that they backline a lot of stuff. So
yeah.
We fly in.
Yep.
You know, with minimal gear, and we're provided with top notch gear. So we're not having to drive if you don't want to. There's other ways to do it. I used to like to go play shows on the way in and the way out. Now the older I get, then I'm like, this is my vacation week. I'm going to fly in. I treat it as work, of course, but then might stay a couple extra days and ski. And
you ski a lot.
I do.
You
love
the
ski.
Mountain.
You know, can I tell you my quick story? Because I know we're probably, but one of my favorite times is one year I was so busy, and I don't ski a whole lot early on just because my voice, I like to save it, you know.
Yep.
But I played the last day at the outdoor stage, and I wanted to make sure my voice was good, so I didn't go ski all week. And so I told the audience, I said, I didn't get to ski this year. And everyone's like, go, because I was on the outdoor stage. I said, well, I didn't bring my stuff. People started taking off their goggles.
That's
I got
awesome.
Goggles. I got a helmet. I got a ski jacket. I wore some guy's big ski pants that he took off, and I just kind of patchwork quilted this whole. And I went on some runs with all these random people's ski gear. But that's how the people are there.
That's a good story.
It's a party.
I love that. Yeah.
And it was, and then I, you know, I'm skiing down the mountains in some random guy's ski pants. So thank you for that, whoever you are. I hope I see you again, because I just, I never gave them back to him.
Are you going
to
get on the mountain this year?
Of course.
Okay.
I usually always get on the mountain.
I thought you did.
I love to ski. And that is, I mean, it's such an easy, great, like, you, it has something for everyone. I think the blues at Steamboat are perfect.
Yeah.
they're just the right amount for someone who's not trying to break a rib or pull.
Well, what I like with the blues is there'll be a black that's parallel to it. So when I'm skiing with my daughters, you know, when they want to go cut up in the blacks and dad doesn't want to,
right.
I can ski right next to them on the blues and they're cutting up in the blacks and I'll venture in. But, you know, it's a really well thought out mountain. It's an incredible mountain.
Incredible. And all the lodging is really thoughtful too and really high class. But it feels very country. It feels very Texas. Yeah. It feels, I don't know, it's very homey. And Texas totally takes over that mountain for the whole week. And it's just really fun. I think we almost sell them out of... I say we. Look at me. I just jumped on your train. But
You're part of it for sure.
It's the Wild West. Do you want to talk about any of your other trips before we run out of time? Or you want to touch on any of that?
Well, I mean, you know, we do the annual, it's Big Cabo Fest. We made a big announcement. We're moving it to Costa Rica this next year. So,
wow.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about that. I used to do group trips down to Costa Rica back in the 90s, but it's really hard to travel to and get around. Now they've got a main airport right on the Pacific side, so it's right next to all the hotels. So, yeah, we decided we'd change up the Big Cabo Fest, which is, I love Cabo. We'll be back, but let's change it up a little bit and go to Costa Rica. But the response has been incredible. So,
yeah.
You know, that's one of the main ones. We do our winter thing, and then we do our summer gig.
Perfect.
And yeah, it's awesome.
Right. I know people ask me, which one should I go to? And I'm like, both.
Yeah.
Save your money. Go do both of them. They're apples and oranges. You can't really compare them. That's perfect. I am just so excited. I see you have the magazine there. I wasn't going to bring it up, but I should because...
I want you to... This is almost like 10 years ago, and we did a story on you, and I usually get the cover artist to sign it, so I want you to sign this for me.
Okay. I don't know if I have time today in my busy schedule to do this, but John had reached out and said, we want to put you on the cover of Music Fest magazine, and so I thought about, well, what could I do that would be different, and so I got my mom's ski bibs from the 70s. Those are my mom's ski bibs.
I didn't know that.
They fit me anymore, but they barely fit me back then. And then that's a Kyle Park tank top I got from the general store.
All right.
And I skied down in a tank top with my bare shoulders, and I remember William Clark Green was on the ski lift, and he yelled down, "Bree, what are you doing, you idiot?" Because I was just skiing down with, you know,
I remember you doing it, and I think actually, it was a pretty nice day because it had been, for reading the article or something, like you were talking about how cold it was. I think you played on the outdoor stage the day before, and then you did this photo gig up on the mountain. I was like, but it's cool. But, you know, up in the mountains when it's 25 degrees and no humidity, it's really not that cold.
And you're going 100 miles an hour like that.
Well,
no,
that's different. I haven't.
No, not anymore. That was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
How much fun. Oh, my gosh. And the tribute was to Radney Foster.
Yeah.
Very cool. I bet these are such a great, you know, it's like a yearbook of memories.
Yeah, we did you know, that was back when people read, you know, read paper. And we had a blast doing these magazines. And, you know, now we're still doing them. We're putting stories online on our website, you know, and doing more of it. But, yeah, this was really a neat piece. And this was the prime deal where there was distributed all the college campuses, mailed to 70,000 people. It was crazy. So we got those out. Yeah, it was really neat. But it wasn't just about Music Fest. It was about supporting this whole scene. And y'all were so nice to do things, for you to do a photo op like this and do this deal. And
it's very fun.
There was a little Q&A there with you. I was like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah, I loved it. And so how do people, people basically, they register while they're at Music Fest. That's the first chance you get to register for the next year.
Well, for the people that are on the festival, they do what we do, a pre-reservation system, which has never been done that I've known of. We started that 20-something years ago because we had people complaining. Says, hey, I went last year, but it sold out. I can't go this year. So we said, okay, you know what? Pre-register so you have first rights to make your reservations before we open it to the public. So that's pretty much it. For people that have not been, you know, all we say is, hey, get your friends, get everybody on board, and when it goes on sale is... make your reservations, because then once you're on the trip, then you can continue to make these pre-reservations and go.
And that line, it's so crazy. I remember the first time I saw it, I'm like, why are all these people in line at the Grand? They were there to get their reservations for next year, because once you go, you want to go again and again.
Now technology, we've caught up with technology or vice versa, whatever, but now it's all done online. But it used to be where you had to, the first morning of the festival, you would wait in a line to sign on for this deal, but we noticed that the line was starting the night before, people were showing up with pillows and a case of beer. And then there was a line, 1,000 people long down the Grand Hotel all the way outside. And I'm like, oh, this is wrong. And we didn't know that was going to happen. But so now it's all done online and it's
yeah,
it fills up.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, and you had to pivot and change and you have. I think, you know, you've adapted this festival to do, including having a live podcast there last year. Kyle and I went. We had the first live audience tapings of Only Vans. And that was super fun. I got to interview Del Brisby, who basically called me his ex-wife or ex-girlfriend the whole time. But, you know, you and in the magazine's no longer, but you find other ways and you're doing the online thing. And now finding better ways to not, you know, annoy the people at the hotel and stuff. That's really smart. And you're an entrepreneur and you're a smart man, but you always put the music first and you always have. And I think that's why you're so successful.
Well, and you guys are so supportive of this festival and, you know, unconditionally, and what all you guys do. And I see you out there at the festival, and I know you're out there with your fans and stuff. And it's just so cool. It's just such a natural environment to where everybody gets to hang. And I know you know, making yourself available to all the fans is just so cool that, you know, just having a conversation with them and, going out with them and borrowing their ski clothes, I guess.
Yeah. And doing the private thing that, you know, that's been crazy.
You do that every year,
don't you?
I do
that a lot. You know, people will.
For charity.
Well, yes.
And then you do stuff on the side.
The poker tournament. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, what I've been doing now lately is we'll coordinate where they do this poker tournament the first night and I donate a concert at somebody's condo, and then, you know, half the money goes to charity. But then he'll be like, hey, we have two, can we do two? I'll do a couple, but it's really great extra money for me, and I get to go to people's condos, and usually we just end up playing a few songs and then drinking wine. Good wine. They always have good wine and good food, so it's not
But what an
hard.
Experience for not only for you, but for people that go on vacation, and next thing you know, they have Bree Bagwell playing songs in their condo and having wine with them. I'm like, where else does that happen? It's very unique, and you do it for a good cause. That's such a, you know, nice offer you do for the poker charity tournament and the silent auction.
And I make good friends. I mean, I have friends that I talk to this day that I've met from the condo stuff. So it all is one full big circle. Oh, no. There wasn't whiskey in this tip. One big family. It all comes full circle.
But you can attest to the people that go on this trip. They're really, you know, it's the music attracts this grounded crew, just like the music. You know, it's just real genuine people from all walks of life. But we all share this one thing in common. We like just genuine grounded music. And you know, I've made friends for a lifetime at this festival, as I know you have, and you know, it's really a special gathering. It's, you know, I've got a lot of festivals, and I'm not saying that other festivals don't have that atmosphere, but we're up there for 6 days and we get to hang with each other, and like I said, I've made friends all over the country, you know, through this, and international. I mean, we got friends. It's like a reunion every year.
Yep. And then that's the time where I get to see all my best friends, and you're sitting there, you know, talking to Doug Moreland and laughing until you start crying. And I don't really remember about what, but that happened to me this year. And we actually threw, Paul turned 40. So I threw him a secret party in our condo.
Oh, nice.
Well, then Kyle, remember you went to go get the decorations. Then people kept hearing about it. It moved to a suite in the Grand, and then before I knew it, Doug Moreland brought his trio, and so then we had a band, and then here comes Kevin Fowler with the bottle of tequila, and it turned from this little tiny party until, you know, Paul walked in, and there goes Doug Moreland, happy birthday to you, and it was just magical, and I couldn't have planned it any better. It organically happened that way because everybody loves everybody, and some of my best memories of my whole life are from your festival. So thank you.
Well, it's those events where you go up and says, you know, I'm going to go have one drink and listen to one song in the penthouse, and then next thing it's close to the sun coming up. It's like, and you know, you think your watch is broken. You go up there and you just, these things happen, just come together, not planned, and it's just so much fun. And it happens a lot.
It's always Stoney LaRue's fault.
Yes.
It's almost always Stoney LaRue's fault.
You know, I've got a quick story on that is there was we had kind of an artist speakeasy bar to where it was kind of a special knock to get in. I didn't do this. They did it on themselves with the hotel director at the time. It was really funny. But I was in there, and it was probably about midnight, and they were – they had a contest. Okay, we're going to mention a song, and you have to sing every word to every song, and then it goes to the next person. And then, you know, you you get out if you miss the lyrics to one of the songs. Right. So I think I left at 3 o'clock in the morning. The next day I was coming down to work in the hotel, and Stoney comes walking down the hallway. It's like 10:30 in the morning. I said, "Wow, Stoney, you sure are up early." He goes, "No, I just lost in the deal. It's still going on." I'm like, "Oh my God." So I open up the door, and there's still a few handful of people. Matt Skinner won it that year. I remember that because I was like,
he is a human jukebox.
He's got an encyclopedia of music in his head, and it was all genres of music. It wasn't just country music. It was rock and roll and all kind of stuff. And I'm like, it was incredible what everybody did, but it lasts till the next day. So there's one that went a little bit later than, you know, the sunrise. But
I think you were smart to not do that artist bar again, because I remember that.
Yeah.
And it was the last night of it, though. I remember going to the artist bar, and it was the last night, and there was nobody there. And the security guard was sitting there, and I said, "Hey, do you want to have a whiskey with me?" Because everyone had partied. They had all partied extra that year because of the availability of that bar.
Oh, yeah.
And so by the last day, everyone was checked out and their livers were giving up. But I was like ready to party. So I had the security guard. I said, "Do you want to come sit and have a whiskey with me?"
Heck yeah. That's awesome.
All by myself.
There you go.
I forgot about that story. He reminded me of it because the same, you know, people that are there are always there. But
right.
It's been a delightful time. John Dixon, thank you so much. Musicfest.com. Please go check it out. And like you said, if you're not on the pre-reservation list, get all your friends and y'all all call at the same, you know, you have to have y'all all got to be on it at the same time, because you don't want your life to pass by before you get the chance to go to this festival, because I promise you it will be some of the best memories of your whole life. And I'm so lucky to have been going for so long. So thank you so much for
joining us. You. And I've just heard that you're in 100 podcasts now, or close to it.
Oh, we're in the top 10% of all podcasts.
Well,
of all of them.
Well, I'm just the amount you've done, and this is your third year, and this is really your interviews are great.
Oh,
but it just helps expose this great music to such a great fan base out there. But thanks for doing what you do, and thanks for being part of the festival all these years.
My pleasure. I better be a part of it next year too. No, just kidding. I am. I'm coming. I'm spilling the beans.
Love
right
to have
now.
You.
No, thank you. Thank you.